T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jason Fitz joins us every single Monday around this time. He joins now. Let's get it.
It's ESPN's Jason Fitz. And hear him now live with Jason and John.
Fitz, what is going on, brother?
I'm just living that dream. How y'all doing?
Well, the dreams are alive once
dreaming
again.
Dreaming about you and game day.
I don't know if we're dreaming about you exactly. Maybe Jason is.
Mm-hmm. I want some Fitzy in Memphis.
But, yes, I think we all do. We all would love to see it. I don't know. Like, what can you tell us about just the process of game day? Like, how a site is chosen, how it's selected. Like, what insight can you lend us, Fitz?
Well, I can't lend you a ton of insight on the powerful people, because God knows they don't let me get within 100 feet of them. But I can tell you that the way it works is every week there's a crew of people that are way past my pay grade. They take a look at the big games and the best opportunities. And one of the things that's really surprised me, with this being my first year with game day, is that it's not always as simple as people think it is. You know, sometimes you look at it and you're like, oh, we're definitely going to go to that game. And every time I think I've got it figured out, I can tell you I'm wrong. That being said, I can tell you that I hear the same rumors. And every week when we come to campus and when we get to the game day site, everybody's talking about it. And yes, I'm not just saying this because I've been on with you. The conversation of Memphis keeps coming up. I mean, you know, it is on the radar of the people that make these decisions, and they're looking at it, and that means there's at least a fighting chance that, you know, it makes a lot of sense. And if you watch game day, we all watched the SMU feature they did a few weeks ago. I mean, it just makes you think that, man, maybe the stars could align and that it could all work out. Because one thing we've also learned this year, and I've seen already, is when you go to places that haven't had it before, it's impactful. I mean, that's the thing. When I went down to Gainesville, I mean, no disrespect to Gainesville, it was fine. We hadn't been there since 2012, it was fine. But when we go to places we've never been to, it's electric. And that's something even this weekend going to, you know, we're going to Brookings, South Dakota to go to South Dakota State and, you know, and check out a rivalry we've never been a part of. And that's when I think game day is at its best, and everybody's seeing the power of that right now. So I think there's a better than good chance that, you know, if everybody can win and do what they need to do on y'all's end, I think that Memphis is squarely on everybody's radar.
You know, I don't know if you saw it, Fitz, but I think the local columnist said, you know, tweeted something and had tagged Herb Street, and Herb Street hit back with, hey, let's do it with a couple of fingers crossed. And so that's added to it and added to the, you know, frenzy. But like you said, there's so many steps to it. How big is the crew? Just a logistical question. How many folks do y'all bring in when game day comes to town? How big a production is this thing? What we'd be talking about?
So it reminds me, the way I described it to people when I first started is, imagine setting up Lollapalooza every week.
Wow.
It's that large.
Wow.
I mean, it takes trucks to do it. There's a whole stage set up, and then the they call it the demo field, which is the little side stage that is not little at all. And, you know, then there's a DJ that plays. And, you know, for anyone that doesn't know or hasn't seen the setup, like for me, even personally, I do a countdown with Maria and Pollock. And then right after that, I stick around for the next 3 hours. And during commercials, I'm part of the DJ, and I basically are there to keep the crowd engaged and try and do fun stuff with the crowd. And, you know, I'm trying to be sort of an interactive on-site host. And no exaggeration when I say it takes hundreds of people to make it happen. It feels a lot like being on tour. And the best crowds have been in the thousands of people that are standing out there that are all just cramming in to be a part of the game day experience. So it's whatever you think it is on TV, I'd say triple it, and that's what it really feels like live.
So the bottom line is
a great opportunity,
Fitz. We would not be ridiculous in Memphis to dream of game day.
I think you'd be realistic too. I mean, I can't say with any inside knowledge. I don't have it, so I don't want anyone to think that I'm giving away trade secrets. But I think it's more than just dreaming. I think that there's a very realistic chance that it can happen, and then that becomes, I mean, when you want to talk about the benefit of. They always put a value on what it means to go into March Madness and
we all understand and respect that, what a long run means. I mean, when you talk about a run to game day, you're talking about hours of a free ad on TV, mm-hmm. you know, as you have the opportunity to show your school, you know, at their best. I mean, that's what really is incredible about the game day experience, is that it's not, it is about the games, yes, but it's also about everything that's happening on that campus and really getting an opportunity to show off what a school can be. And it's an incredible recruiting and monetary opportunity for a school. So, you know, and the other thing I will say is when Herbie puts the fingers crossed emoji, mm-hmm. that's real, because what the guys want more than anything, for anybody that thinks that there's some great conspiracy, but the guys want to be around, and the girls and everybody on this crew, is the love of college football. That's what they want. And yep. the best stories for that are the places we haven't been where people are just excited to share it. So that's genuine. And you know, there isn't a great sense from people sitting around every week of saying, God, I hope we go to Columbus. I felt like there's been a sense more from people saying, man, I hope we go someplace that is just going to be jacked and excited to actually have us there.
No, it would single-handedly be the best thing that's ever happened to Memphis football. And Fitz, I have a great segment idea for you. There's a brand new land bridge that we're very proud of. You know, there used to be, you know, if a train, there's a railroad track basically in the middle of the campus, and they constructed this land bridge so that you can get to class on time. You know, just get like a Memphis figurehead. You know, just have like a conversation walking across the land bridge, man. Like that, I think that'd be a great segment for you. Just walk across and just enjoy the view from up there, man.
It's got it all planned out for you.
And I'm telling you, like, I'm not even kidding. The first thing that I'll do is talk to y'all and talk to your listeners, because if we're going to have the opportunity to pitch and sell Memphis, then let's do it from people that love the school and love, you know, what it's about. So, you know, as much as we joke about that stuff, I'm all in.
Fitzy, do you bring your instruments every week? Because I've seen you on there. Is that an every week thing? So we could plan on that?
No, it isn't, but it would be in Memphis. I mean, I think we'd have
absolutely.
To go out and sit in somewhere. I'm not going to be around. Like, Memphis is a great music town. I'm not going to be around that and not at least try and sit in somewhere.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Yeah.
That's what we would expect and hope from you, brother.
We hope that we certainly hope that the stars align for this, no question about it. Okay, yeah. On to the rest of college football this weekend, Fitz. Jared Garantano clearly changed the play and did not do what the play call was on that quarterback sneak there. But did it warrant Jeremy Pruitt's reaction?
It's always such a fine line, you know. There's this whole new school versus old school. I don't think it warranted that reaction, you know. And I know that this is where what happens is Twitter tough guy comes out and says, my high school coach did it to me. We live in a different world today than we did 10 years ago, so I think there has to be some acknowledgement of that from everybody. I don't know the right way to handle it in that moment, but it didn't look or feel good. And that's ultimately, I think, what everybody's sort of uneasy with. And the more I've talked to former players around campus, the more they all say that's about the biggest disrespect you can give a player. And I don't know that that's the way that Jeremy Pruitt should be leading right now for a Tennessee program that's looking for some sort of direction. You know, it didn't feel good to me. I'm torn on it, because if you'd asked me that question even a year ago in life, I'd have said, so what? He grabbed his face mask. The more I keep talking to players, the more the people that I've talked around the game, the more they keep saying, man, that's not okay. And, you know, if that's the sense that they have a better sense than I do. So that means I have to be willing to change my mind on it and say it's not okay.
Did you see Lovie Smith? And if you said, I mean, my goodness, whether he looked, we were joking, he looks like Rip Van. Have you ever felt better for a guy? And is it enough to save him, Fitz, beating Wisconsin?
Well, and that's the great question. I mean, should it be enough to save him? Because, I mean, these are the moments you have to ask yourself who you are as a program and who is Illinois as a program right now. The one thing that they don't really have, and we've talked about the great things that you can get out of identity, that Lovie Smith has this identity. It just hasn't transcended nationally with him at Illinois the way we expected. So, you know, is it an incredible win? Yes. Do we really believe? I mean, this is where we are, right or wrong, as a society. We're going to look at it more as, yet again, Wisconsin had the opportunity to get things done, and yet again, they choke in a trap game. And how you can have that happen year in and year out, I'll never understand. So, you know, I don't know. Lovie's got to tie together some real respectable football that is representative of him until we can take that step.
We are, of course, talking to Jason Fitz. You can catch him on Golic and Wingo every morning on 92.9 FM ESPN. You can catch him on College Game Day. He does it all for ESPN. We certainly hope to see him in a couple weeks here in Memphis. Turning to the NFL, Fitz, Titans make the change, a quarterback. They go with Ryan Tannehill, and they get a win. Are the two things related, or was this just sort of a correlation? It just so happened to be a disappointing Chargers team, just so happened to be a win for the Titans. Like, where do you come down on how much you believe in the quarterback change being the reason why the Titans won the game?
The only thing I can say that I will give credit to is the offensive line played a little better.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think the offensive line is good enough for the Titans, but I wonder if the change was the eye-opening thing that could help them play mm-hmm. with a better sort of spirit and better energy, because that was a different version of, you know, all the guys up front. So that gave Tannehill a little bit more opportunity. But ultimately, this isn't a great Chargers team that they beat, and I have to stress that to people. This isn't what it meant to beat the Chargers even 2 years ago, or what we thought the Chargers were going to be this year.
Absolutely.
This is a bad top 10. It's a top 15, let's say top 12 pick in the draft this year coming for the Chargers. All the Titans did was win a game that, frankly, they should have won in my mind. So I think it's going to take more for Ryan Tannehill to actually prove anything. We're just jumping on it because it's easy to jump on.
Who's the best team in the NFC, Fitzy? It feels like you've got a lot of choices and maybe more than one answer. Maybe that's right. You got Saints, Packers, Niners are sitting there undefeated. Who would you take in the NFC?
Well, you know, if you'd asked me last week, I said the Seahawks, and then mm-hmm. I didn't think they looked tight at all against the Ravens. They just didn't look clean at all, I should say, against the Ravens. So, you know, I have to look around now and say, okay, well, what the Saints are doing, like, are the Saints the best team in the NFC today? No. Will they be by the end of the year? I mean, they just beat a Bears team without Alvin Kamara, Jared Cook, and Drew
yep.
Brees. How many teams can do that?
Yep.
So, you know, so I have to look at the Saints and say that they are playing like they are going to be the best team in the NFC. You know, but at the end of the day, I mean, the version of Aaron Rodgers we saw yesterday, would you bet against that?
Dangerous to do that.
I don't know. I think that there are viably two or three teams that can all stake their claim, and mm-hmm. whichever one each of us says is the answer is probably sort of right and sort of wrong all at once.
Yeah. The Dallas Cowboys, Fitz, I mean, they made a little bit of a statement, I would say, yesterday. Obviously, to start the year 3-0 and then to lose three straight, but a divisional game, and that was never really even close. What did we learn from, I guess, about the Dallas Cowboys from last night?
This is going to sound like I'm harsher than I mean it to sound, I promise. But we learned that they can feast on an Eagles secondary that is just hot garbage right now. I mean, I'm not. It sounds like I'm taking away from their win, and I am. I get it, but did you watch that game and feel like the Cowboys were spectacular or the Eagles were just constantly stepping on themselves? I mean, that was
yeah.
a version of Carson Wentz we haven't seen.
Yeah.
So I'm a little stunned by the way Carson laid that egg in that game. I mean, it's inexcusable for a quarterback that is as good as he is to do that. But it's tough for me to make some sort of long-term proclamation about the Cowboys. And I think it's fair to at least come back and say, hey, what the Cowboys need to do before they can get national respect on a week in and week out level is play with consistency and coach with consistency. And until they do that, what are we buying into? This is still an inconsistent football team until they string it together for a few weeks.
No doubt. Hey, Fitz, we always appreciate the time, and we hope that by the time that we're talking and doing this segment again next week, that you're headed to Memphis. That is our hope.
I'm coming into the studio with donuts.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no, we're taking care of you. No, you've done too much for us. We'll have the donuts. We'll have the donuts, brother.
That's exactly right, man. Just bring
it. I'm rooting for you in the room. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm just going to say, look, guys, I got this covered.
Thank you, boss.
And you know
you
what?
You are the man.
We believe in you, Fitz. Bring it home, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Fitz.
Y'all have a great week.
Yep.
Our brother.
He is Jason Fitz. You got to be encouraged by what he said, don't you?
Heck,
I mean,
yes.
I don't know if he's in the room, but it sounds like he's outside the room at least, and like he can kind of hear what's going on. And so maybe he can, like, say, you know, he gets it. Fitz gets it. Fitz is a friend of the city and the program.
He's a big part of that show now. Like he said, he's typically sometimes he's the guy getting the crowd hype. And he's done it with that fiddle, John Martin. And I'm excited to hear that we would have it too. We would have a chance to hear Fitzy on that fiddle. Because, my gosh, John, have you ever heard him?
Yeah, I mean, I hear him every – that's his fiddle every time you know.
Is it?
Is that his fiddle?
No.
Oh, that's not
it's
yet.
Actually not his fiddle, John.
Not his fiddle.
Wow, you put on somebody else's fiddle.
The idea – it's good fiddling, but we haven't heard Fitzy, and certainly not Fitzy in person. Can you imagine getting some of that in the studio?
Play any Ban Perry song, and that was
Ban
his
Perry.
Fiddle, yeah.
The man is a beast on the fiddle.
What was the big Ban Perry song, When I Die Young?
When I Die Young.
This is a man trained at Juilliard.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yes.
If you can sing me one line from the Ban Perry song, I will give you $500.
I'd have to
Jason, can you do it?
I wish I had something for you. I'd take that nice little lick for my birthday since I didn't get nothing from you except a damn tweet.
Maybe that's
that I'm
what
supposed
we should
to be thanking you
good
for.
Tweet? When Fitz comes in studio, we will give you the script for the songs, and you can sing. You know, maybe Jason sings along with him in a company.
Well, hell, I mean, Caucus does it every year. He gets the whole damn band in
the only, I mean, the only feeling I really know, old Jason Lewis, but what's the guy that, round and down and down and down
and down and down and down and down and down.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Down and
down. Now, there you go. Now, there's some fiddling.
Sure, yeah.
That's some real deal fiddling right there. And Fitzy can do exactly.
This is a little different. This is pop music.
This was his old band.
Yeah. This is...
Oh, y'all just going to continue with it. What I wouldn't want to hear.
Well, this is his. This was Fitz's band. This was the band he was in.
He was in this. This is a huge song. There's like 170 million people on YouTube.
I want to hear Fitz solo. I don't. The singing,
well,
I don't need.
I don't think he had a solo.
Are you telling me we'll have to hear this part before Fitzy starts up? Because I want to get straight into the Fitz part of the song.
Well,
what I'm saying.
He may not have. In fairness, he may not have been with the band when this song.
Oh,
was
he was.
Made.
That's 2010.
Y'all setting the brother up for failure. Playing that first.
That old, my God. Oh. That's crazy.
And it's been a while since they've had some songs, be straight. But since he left, they've gotten, I don't want to pick on the band Perry, but his career actually has gone up, I think, more than theirs. I think that's fair.
I'm telling you right now, Fitz is the next Greenberg.
And he's doing well.
Yes, he is.
Next Reese Davis.
Thanks to Jason Fitz for joining us on the show today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.